This is down to brass tacks. Hello.
Good morning, David.
Yes, good morning.
I hope I'm not... You're hearing an echo. I'm hearing it.
To those of you who hear an echo when you call, we apologize. We'll have to get it sorted out. But I'm not hearing an echo.
Okay. I, David, listening to those two calls about the reception they received at the QEH and being transferred to Sir Winston Scott Polyclinic really, really saddened me. This is our average Barbadian speaking there, persons who can't afford fast track, private clinics, etc. And you know, you said something this morning initially that I agreed with. I can't remember exactly what you were talking about, but you were, I think you were referring to communication in terms of the information we're receiving as compared to overseas. There is a caller that called, and I think there are quite a few others who call and talk about Barbados handling this the best in the world. I just want to refer you to an Oxford study, University of Oxford study, where Trinidad and Tobago is now listed as the most prepared country in the world to lift its COVID-19 lockdown measures. Trinidad is listed first in the world out of 152 countries. Second, I think, was Hong Kong, and third was Croatia. And I'm saying all that in the, to point out to you, these are some of the areas Trinidad was listed, given high points. They got top points for, they were voted 1.0, which is the top point. They got the highest points. For cases controlled, the areas they looked at is cases controlled, test, tracing, and isolation. They got 0.8 in that. Managing imported cases, I didn't get a score for that, but community understanding, they got 0.9. And, you know, the thing I want to say is, the Minister of Health, when questioned about that ranking, that very high ranking, number one in the world, above the UK, above France, Canada, Germany, United States, he said, we are not going to be complacent because of this. And I say all that to say that, you know, you talk about democracy just now, and I agree with you. People must be able to put, and I specifically am saying this to you, David, be able to put, to counter arguments, put a different point of view without a label being put that you're slanting political, you're being political.
Well, you know full well that we are able to discern when that is the motivating force as well. We don't live in a perfect world. So there will be people who will come with their political slant, but because a person brings a political slant, it does not necessarily mean that there is no validity to the point that they are seeking to make.
So therefore, I agree with you. So therefore, I'm saying persons can discern for themselves. This way that people need to editorialize comments, or you know, you sound like a B, you sound like a D.
You're going off on a tangent.
Let me just go to my main point, because I just want to reinforce a point I was making. And listening to you, I think it is critical, the point I'm making. I'm looking at an article I saw online. I didn't have it from The Nation, May 9, 2020, an article by Barry Aline from The Nation newspaper. And he said, the headline says, "Czar, our testing way ahead in the Caribbean." Now, David, you might have heard me on more than one occasion saying, I am appalled and very concerned that for probably the last 3 weeks, over 21 days, we have not had a press conference with our Minister of Health, with our chief medical officers, and any other relevant ministers at a press conference to be asked questions by the journalists. Now, you see, the two callers raised the whole question of what is happening at the QEH for persons who are not part of that COVID-19 positive cases. How they are being treated, and it is not being seen as a priority. I'm saying a press conference with the Minister of Health would have addressed that. But what this Barry Aline article pointed out to me and was startling, he said they were talking about testing of coronavirus in Barbados, the numbers, etc. And he said, Richard Carter said, Barbados was way ahead of its counterparts in the Caribbean. But listen, David, these are the comments that stood out. His comments came after several questions were asked mostly on social media platforms about just how many tests are being done in Barbados, especially in local communities, et cetera. You understand where my concern is, right? He saw Richard Carter Desaire, apparently saw these questions on social media platforms and was addressing it in that context. I am saying we have transitioned from persons having direct contact with persons with a travel history or persons who met someone with a travel history and passed it on. We are now into the zone of community spread. I am very concerned, David. I am not ashamed to tell you that. I'm extremely concerned because I was ill, very ill in February, and I just want to make sure that when I go out there, I'm hardly going out, but when I go out there, that I am protected. I want to understand community spread. And I think something as critical as moving from the direct contact to community spread, and they're giving this information on a ticker. Just by chance on CBC, he was talking, and at Desaire, no, not the chief medical officer. And what did we hear? That there was one person who had community spread and had died, and the only person else who had it was there was one person alive. When the person died, did they say that the person had got it through the community spread? Then we now realize there's a 72-year-old woman, non-national, and a 32-year-old man who they're investigating. David, so many questions are coming out of this. And you know, they think they're on the ticker out there, but you know what is happening? People are getting complacent. They're not seeing the chief medical officer and the minister of health addressing this as in Trinidad, but they do it on a daily basis. But with us, none at all for the last 3 weeks or so. They're not seeing it addressed, and people seeing some places being open. And the whole idea that coming through to people, we are relaxed now in this thing. Because, you know, everybody want to come and say, the government doing good, they're congratulating. And I am saying I congratulate them in the Harrison Point building that they did. I congratulate them in how they dealt with the social issues in terms of employees. But in terms of managing COVID, they get a big F for me for keeping the border open, for not being able to trace certain people, et cetera, et cetera.
We got to go. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Hello, Dr. Brastad.
Good morning.
Yes, morning.
Yeah, so when is it that the medical is bad enough?
Pardon me?
When is it that when she starts being critical, when she starts talking about closing the border, where's where
she's on? She's on for a while, you know. Don't be, in all fairness, she's been on for a while. So okay, I have a number of other callers here.
The two callers that called you about what happened in the Korea. I can't what you should do when the program and it's never want to create and investigate. And if the drug cooperate with you, then obviously the husband is the height. But then again, I remember talking to you on the program and they mentioned to you about going into the Jagar standard thing going on and you bluntly told me on here that is not your job. Right? Now, someone approached me recently not to attend the department of authority. Whether he's a nation of the party or I don't know, I don't care. But I want to say this no publicly. I will never, ever join the Barbados Labour Party. I am going to be 8 years in office. I know come down. I grew up in a political whole space of
You think they will miss you? You think they will miss you, Mr. P?
That what?
You think they would miss you?
I don't know, and I don't care.
Come.
Now, I hear you defending ministers when they claim because I don't have no proof that they spend money and all that.
This technical quality is really not good enough, you know. In this call, I'm hearing this echo that you talk about, and it is not good for listening, you know. Let me try to see what we can do. Down to brass tacks.
Good morning, Mr. Ellis.
Yes, morning. Yes, I understand that.
This is a story. I were a temporary medical secretary at the
You do what?
Test out things for yourself, right? If this woman went to get an officer that was sitting.
Listen, in all fairness, look, I don't know the details. I can only go on what that person has said. And you don't know what the person, what else that person did. For you to come now and essentially, because this is going to be like, so you're going to blame the person for what happened. You don't know what else they did. So the only thing you can do is to ask for more information and ask the hospital to respond to this situation. The members of the family, I mean, they're distraught and that sort of thing. But, you know, a lot of people go through experiences and they suffer them in silence. And, you know, they say, well, it makes no sense. My raising this. This other guy, he says, look, you know, I've been trying to raise this matter for 2 weeks, and he feels obligated to draw it to national attention that this is what went down. So what it is doing is throwing up this whole question of the effect that COVID is having. It is a direct effect in some instances, but then it has this indirect effect on things. And we are trying to get a better appreciation and understanding of how the health system is actually functioning in these circumstances. A couple of people have said here on the chat, they are alleging, including one coming from a nurse, that you go to get treatment as a public patient, but then you're being told in some quarters that you can't necessarily get it quickly now, but if you go as a private patient, now this is something that's been going on in Barbados for so long, but they are trying to suggest to me here that this may well be something that is happening to a greater degree than it should in this COVID-19 period. So, when I say that, I think there is a real need to have more discussion about these things. It is not because you want to create strife. It is because it is important for the country to discuss these things. You know, it's down to brass tacks. You're on the air. Hello?
Hello.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Ellis.
Yes.
Good morning, sir. Can you tell me if when the garbage people collect your garbage and they take your cover off your can, if they're not supposed to replace the cover on the can? Or can you get someone from sanitation to call and let us know about that?
I must tell you, sir. There was a time when people called this program, they were calling because they couldn't get the garbage picked up at all. I mean, we've improved so much that the only complaint now is whether they put the cover back on.
But you see, the reason why I'm calling last Thursday down here in St. Lucie, the fellow to put my garbage, I prepare a can, pack my garbage very nice and neat in the bag, place them in the can, and they take out the garbage, and then he throw the cover on the ground. So I went to the gentleman very politely. I said, "Sir, morning, excuse me. Can you please, when you take the garbage with the can, replace the cover back on the can?" He was very abusive, very difficult.
Well, call the Sanitation Service Authority and talk to them about it. I mean,
Mr. Ellis, hold on, sir.
Uh-huh.
I called last week, and they said they would get back to me, and nobody has gotten back to me, right?
Okay.
He tried to cough his mask. He came up in my face, put his finger in my face. So I walked away for two reasons. One, he are glad that I accepted Christ in my life. And the other reason I walked away, because he lost his mask, I don't know what he had, so I don't want his saliva fell in my face. But after I didn't accept Christ in my life, I would have had it when he drunk tumble up and I'd break it up and he can't get my face.
Hey, man, but seriously, hold on a minute, though. Hold on a minute. You know that having told the whole country that you accepted Christ in your life, you should not be sinning in thought and in word.
Mr. Ellis.
What you have just said isn't that contrary to all that you are supposed to be thinking at this point?
Hold on, sir. You all seem to think that they become a Christian, you become stupid.
No, we expect that you'd be less violent in thought.
I'm not being violent.
But you like cross
I
your mind.
No. I said if I were not a Christian.
Well, here.
So I would like somebody from sanitation authority, or somebody come on here and let us know when these guys take off. You are covered.
Well, like, you don't need nobody to come and tell you that the ideal scenario is that if they come and take off the cover, they should put it back. But if they haven't put it back, what are you going to do? You're going to make a national issue out of that?
No, I don't buy that, though, and I spoke to the gentleman very politely. So I don't see the reason why you got to behave the way he behaved.
Tell me you raised this since last week.
Pardon me?
You raised this since last week? You were on brass tacks with that last week.
Yes, I did.
Oh, man. You're going to have a wonderful day here. Down to brass tacks. Hello?
Good morning, David.
Yes, morning.
How are you doing?
I'm okay.
Now, listen. I can make a shift in this discussion today. Everybody is talking about cars in the hospital, and nobody seems to look at the interests of the worker in this country and what is happening with justice. Now, in front of me, I have Friday, May the 8th, ex-Shepherd worker wins, but CCJ cuts pay. Sunder, good news for the employers. Now, David is a serious
This thing
matter.
Affected you?
Huh?
It affected you? I know you just had a recent case that you won an award.
I won.
Yes.
But now you're talking about payment. I can discuss this and I can demonstrate in this country for justice.
So you had a big a big settlement for loss of earnings as well?
Exactly. According to what can happen now. But I can explain to people and the attorney when they're ready. Now, listen, there's something that got me confused. Mm-hmm. Now, this poor man, Mr. Harris from Chaffet, that was employed, he did not took the case to the appeal court. Neither did he took the case to the CCJ. Poor man ain't got no money to do such. But you see the ruling on page Friday is that man, after his pay has been reduced, has been told that Chaffet will pay 75% of the cost, and that man now will got even paid 25%, meaning that out of what he received, he still got to pay for them two courts. You think this could be fair? I ask your opinion. What do you think about that?
I can understand the kind of blow that it is to the man, because the time that this has taken has been significant, and there has been a drastic reduction in the amount of money that he will be entitled to. And now, on top of that, he has to pay some of the costs. So in that situation, and I believe part of his issue is that he is at an age now where he would be into retirement. So,
of course,
you know, it's a big blow. He has won the battle, but he's lost the war.
But that's what I'm telling you.
Essentially, and that's what it is.
The unions and all of this, because remember that whatever was put down before the ERT, the social partnership, was involved. So if you read what was stated by Michelle Russell, you would have to have a legislation put in place to make sure the man get lost or earnings of his wages.
But I read what she said, and I read what the CCJ said. Uh-huh. And basically, my interpretation of it is that you have to show, produce evidence about your loss of earnings.
Yeah.
So I got the distinct impression that if you are in a situation where you can actually show loss of earnings, then that may well be taken into consideration. And that's what the lawyer wrote in the newspaper. And if you look at what the judgment said, that was the interpretation that some people may have out of it, you know. So, you, where does it leave you personally, though? Because it's hurting you a lot.
Yeah, but I can tell you something. At my age, though, I would be 70 the next couple of months. But what is bothering me, and you hear me spoke last week about when lawyers make adjustments about their on sick leave, their sending certificates, and then the other one gone to the Supreme Court and they can't attend, and you prolong a case for, you could imagine in this country, one case before the tribunal could take 7 years. 7 years. And not only that, if you had a patient as a doctor and you attended a heart attack, will you keep that patient laying on the bed and telling the patient you waiting on the other surgeon get you with his to see how he get you with he one? You ever hear about that yet? Did you ever?
I hear all sorts of things. But some I believe and some I have to check.
But listen, you could guarantee that the taxi man, within a couple of weeks when they done trash out this thing, I am going to picket the Labor Department pertaining to tribunal efforts and solving matters against work with workers. Workers today have no way out. It is hurtful to see these two headlines.
Okay.
Ex-shepherd worker wins, but CCG are cut.
You think it's a big blow for workers in the country? And I just want to clarify, it is the future earnings because the court made its decision on. That's the CCJ. And that's where the man's, the award was slashed because in the opinion of the court, there wasn't evidence there to show the loss of future earnings. Now, somebody else has sent me some information on that. And basically, it assumes that it is a very tricky area. It's very difficult sometimes to establish, you know, how much money a person would have made in future earnings. All right? Thank you very much. Down to brass tacks. This person writes, good morning. Permit me to raise one concern in this fora. Well, I would say this forum, but he says fora. In doing so, I first want to compliment the Sandy Lane Charity Trust for their commitment of $1.5 million to provide vouchers to vulnerable families. I, however, have an issue with the rollout. Parliamentary constituencies or offices, only government constituency offices, is not the right approach. It will always be viewed with skepticism, and rightfully so. The person says that in their judgment, those who are not supporters of government MPs will always think that they will be disadvantaged. And the writer says that the government already has the infrastructure to distribute these vouchers, example, the welfare department, the NAB. The person is uncomfortable with this approach coming from the government, and I've seen other criticisms of it where people are asking about the transparency and the accountability associated with this. And both the Sandy Lane Trust and the government MPs are under some measure of criticism for this approach. What are your thoughts? I am sure there are arguments for and against. Down to brass tacks. Hello? You're on the air.
Good morning, Mr. Ellis.
Yes, good morning.
How are you?
I'm fine.
Yes, good morning. I have a little concern. You see, I work in the hotel industry, and I've been working in the hotel industry for years. And they always tell us, tourism is our business, let's play our part. But it's now it's time for the tourism to play their part with us, the hotel workers. Because there are few workers that have not received their national insurance checks as yet, not even one. And those people, you know, they have kids and so on. And I believe that you see that same 1.5 million of the Sandy Lane charity trust that they have just done?
Yes.
I believe along with the Board of Tourism, they should have sit together and said, you know what? Let's take this and take care of our hotel workers. They are workers that get so early at 3 and 4 in the morning, gets to work to make sure the guests of all...
So you would... Let me get you clearly. Are you saying that this 1.5 should just be diverted to hotel workers?
Yes, because watch it now.
But so what were these other people who are suffering across Barbados?
They're being taken care of.
How?
Everybody else, they're getting things. Yes, Mr. Ellis, I'm not being selfish.
But let me ask you, don't you believe that hotel workers who fall in the category of needing assistance will also be able to benefit from the 1.5 million and the other things that the government has been talking about?
Well, I don't think there's some, they're not much. They're not much of them.
Where are the numbers on that?
I don't have the numbers, but I believe they're not much of them, Mr. Ellis. Everybody's talking and no one is measuring or looking at the hotel workers. People get so early in the mornings and go to cook. The cooks get so early in the mornings and go and cook. The waitresses go and serve.
But, ma'am, you are sounding...
I believe that...
You're making this sound as though... Hotel workers who are severely impacted by the layoffs and stuff will not be beneficiaries of the programs that are there. They are also eligible for those programs if they fall into the category of being in need.
Yes, I agree. But I am saying the tourism should be, the hotel workers should be a separate with anything like that. We should be able to go and sign and get one of those. I'm from A Hotel, I'm from B Hotel, you know, and receive it. Because there are workers out there that have not received no national insurance check as yet. And they have not received no sort of vouchers, no sort of bags or anything like that. You know?
Okay.
But no one is looking in to the tour. No one is asking about the workers. That's it.
I really don't agree with you because I've heard... The government outlined various measures to try to assist workers who are under pressure. I just saw the Light and Power, Water Authority, and the telecoms companies also say that they were going to give some kind of ease over a three-month period. I can't agree with you that nobody is looking after the workers. It's a very difficult environment in which to look after the people anyhow, because you know what has happened to Barbados over a long period with its finances. But notwithstanding that, some efforts are being made. And I must say that, in principle, one has to applaud the Sandy Lane Trust, for instance, for trying to assist people. However, one has to come to terms with the method of distribution, as has been raised by others here. This method of distribution will be viewed with great suspicion. And, you know, people in the government, well, they could tell us what it is that they are doing to ensure that there is that transparency and accountability, which the government is known for talking about quite a bit, you know, because that does come to the fore. Down to brass tacks. Hello?
Hello.
Hello, hi.
Yes. Am I on?
Yes, you are.
Yeah, just a few points. I saw a girl, she didn't have on a mask, she just had it below her chin, and then when she went into a business place, she decided to put it on, and then when she came back, she took it off again. I don't know how sensible that is. And the next thing is a person, like a lot of girls wear false hair. And I'm wondering if germs could not be, if that could not harbor some of the same germs that you're trying to avoid. The false hair, to me, is something you should think about very seriously. And the next thing is in terms, I'm just giving you a few items, right? And the next thing is when people talk about the monkeys, I feel the best way to deal with that is to have official culling where you just shoot the monkeys peacefully, they go along in peace, and they can save a few of the males, and that way they eventually they will build back up their numbers as the case may be. But you know, boy, I don't want to torture them. Shooting them is the easiest and the most decent way to deal with it. And one of the, another item, a guy calling and he talked about from the PSV workers saying that they saw the transport board buses with people standing behind one another, and they were full of people. That's not true. So far, I've taken them, and I haven't seen that. We sit.
Other people report the same thing, though.
One seat after the other. That's what I see.
Other people report the same thing that that man or that person said.
I haven't seen that.
So you haven't seen it, but that doesn't mean it doesn't happen.
All right, but in terms of the other three items I mentioned about the hair and the wearing the mask below the chin and not, and when you go in your business space and put it back on and take it back out when you come out, I don't see that to really make any sense. But those are some items that I just thought I would bring in, especially with this, when people wear false hair, that could harbor a lot of germs for sure. So.
All right. Hello? Down to brass tacks. Welcome to the program.